Kopi jana ba la ba, diri bana la de. Jasoda nana, bajajana randana. Jamana tera vana tade. Nijarada madava kundabihade. Jayarada madava kundabihade. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Griva Jagacharya Sita Dishisham Nizavan Grace Abhaya Chivyan Bhakti Vedanta Sain Maharashi Prabhupada Ki. This Khan DVP founder of Chaya Jagaguru Shri Prabhupada Ki. Ananda Kura Vaishnava Ki. All glories of the Samadavotis. All glories of the Divine Lotusita Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So today we're going to do, today and tomorrow, something a little different than the usual Bhagavatam class. We're going to go over the GBC resolutions for Mayapur. But before that, a little preface of some of the main points that came out in the GBC meeting and also some of the news from around the world. There's the famous event when Srila Prabhupada arrived in London, first time he was interviewed. And, of course, he said several things. He actually mentioned to the devotees later on when Mahatma Gandhi came to England, came to London. At that time, it was the capital of the world. And they took him on a tour all around England. And they showed him Westminster Abbey and the, you know, whatever it is, House of Parliament and Buckingham Palace and all these things. So they said to him after the tour, they said to Gandhi, they said, "Well, what do you think of Western civilization?" And his response was, "I think it would be a good idea." In other words, may you someday become civilized. So in a similar, the English are very proud of their, which Tagore, Prabhupada quoted, said that England is so small and it has those cliffs of Dover and the cars are moving so fast. He said, it's amazing people don't fall off, you know. So although the English, there's a little, you know, Prabhupada grew up under the British Raj and they were very arrogant. So Prabhupada, when he arrived, they asked him, "Well, what is it like being in London?" And Prabhupada remarked, "You know, they say the sun never sets on the British Empire. Then why does it never shine in London?" Because Prabhupada likes sunshine. So the point I'm making is that although England has now become, as Prabhupada said, the English Lion is badly bandaged. They've been reduced to that little small island from their previous empire. But the fact of the matter is the sun never sets on ISKCON. If you think about it, all over the world right now, devotees are waking up and going to Mangalartik. Somewhere they're offering the breakfast offering. Somewhere they're going out on book distribution. Somewhere they're having Harinam. Somewhere they may be even having Ratha Yatra. But 24 hours a day, somewhere on this planet, someone is chanting Hare Krishna. Some devotees are, you know, doing some act. It's like Krishna's eternal leela. Somewhere it's Mangalartik, somewhere it's Bhagavatam class, somewhere it's book distribution, somewhere it's Harinam, somewhere they're just distributing prasadam. So it's an amazing thing, especially when you consider that Srila Prabhupada came all alone. We know the story. It's an amazing story. Prabhupada said that he sat on the grass, a natural thing. And one of New York's finest came along and said, "Hey, buddy, off the grass." So Prabhupada sat on the sidewalk. He got a little mat, sat on the sidewalk. So it's just an unbelievable thing. From that one pair of kartals and sincerely... Prabhupada said when he got off the boat, he didn't know whether to turn left or whether to turn right. I mean, we go somewhere. we make sure, you know, where am I going to stay and who's going to pick me up and how's everything going to work. And here's Prabhupada at, how old was Prabhupada when he came? 70 years old? 70 years old, arrives in a completely foreign country, heart attack on the boat, doesn't know anyone. Prabhupada said 40 rupees, which he couldn't even change into dollars. They would not accept rupees in America. You couldn't spend a rupee if you want. You couldn't convert it. You can burn it to light your heat your room. That's all you can do. It's useless. So practically speaking, with nothing. I think somebody gave him a sock of coins, which he could use for the getting on the bus to Butler. But that's it. And this whole movement has come from it. So it's an amazing thing. Prabhupada sat in Detroit, actually. And he was... We'll get to the heart of the matter, but just a sec. Prabhupada was reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It had just come out. Just like in L.A. when the Krishna book came out, Prabhupada would read to the devotees from the Krishna book. So he's reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita for the Bhagavatam class. I was cooking something. But I came up just for a few minutes to see Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan. And Prabhupada was supposed to go from, I think he was coming from Chicago. He was supposed to go Chicago, Dallas, somewhere, then San Diego, then Detroit. So we thought we had a week till Prabhupada showed up, 10 days. And because there was a chance of getting that house, which Prabhupada did arrange for, Devasadhan Mandir, the Detroit, new Detroit temple, he came early. So we got news that Prabhupada, instead of coming in 10 days or a week, was coming in 3 days. So you can imagine all the things that we were, you know, should have cleaned years ago. And so practically speaking, none of the devotees had slept, in their defense. Really, no one had sat down or stopped moving in the last 36 hours, 48 hours. So when Prabhupada came and gave Bhagavatam, he arrived the night before, I think. But anyway, when Prabhupada sat down on the Vyasasan, devotees sat down. Practically speaking, the entire room was sound asleep. There was, I think, two Radha-Damodar buses were there, Vishnujan Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Drishtadyumna, the Hulk. They were all there. So you must have had at least 250 devotees. And it was like someone had waved their mayak wand and the devotees were out cold, practically. The only reason I wasn't asleep was because I was ambulatory. I'd been cooking in the kitchen. I ran up the stairs. So I was still had a little adrenaline going. And Prabhupada was reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was quoting... it was reading from Krishnadas Kaviraj explaining the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada said that the example given is that a poor man doesn't become rich unless something extraordinary happens. He wins the lottery, he walks along the road and finds some bag full of money. Something extraordinary, something amazing has to happen. Otherwise, he'll just stay in his natural course of being poor. So, Prabhupada said, in the same way, this movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna alone. And then he looked out over his glasses at all the devotees who were sound asleep. He turned to Pradyumna and said, that is a fact. It was actually full of affection and also resignation. And later on in his room, Prabhupada said, just as Lord Ram, because we just had Ram Nomi, just as Lord Ram conquered Lanka with monkey soldiers, I am spreading this movement with monkey disciples. So we should always remember that by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone, this movement is going on by the mercy of Krishna alone. So on one hand, that should keep us in a humble position. On the other hand, it should give us great confidence that as long as we sincerely endeavor to the best of our ability, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fixed. What is it? A blind man can see the stars in the sky, a dumb man can sing poetry, and a lame man can cross the Himalayas. So it should keep us humble and also give us confidence, determination. So, a few things about the ISKCON world. And then I think this may take 2 days. So if that's all right with you, we'll do whatever we can today, and then tomorrow we'll finish up. Because you should know these things. You're members of the Hare Krishna movement. The joke is that I didn't like organized religion, that's why I joined the Hare Krishna movement, because it's disorganized. But actually, when you think about it, we have temples all over the world. How many temples are there now? 400? Yeah, I think it's maybe 400 plus. And schools, farms, restaurants, thousands of devotees, actually. When they speak of congregation, you know, it's an amazing thing. So, some of the key things that came up was, as you may know, you know, the big temple that where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to pace on his balcony and look at the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's that vision that he saw a beautiful temple arising and a whole city full of Vaishnavas coming from all around the world. That was a revelation. That was a vision that was given to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And if you stand on that balcony, it's in across the Jalungi. What is the name of that island? I forget the name of that. Yes, Sevakunj. And if you look across, if you like, what if you were to sight as a assessor or something, whatever you call it, a surveyor, to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Yogpit, right in that line is where our Mayapur temple is coming up. So it was Prabhupada's desire. Prabhupada said we should build a stadium with 50,000. It should hold 50,000. They were saying, like, it's the Super Bowl. What is it? They have the Cotton Bowl. They have the Holiday Bowl, so many different, Rose Bowl. So Prabhupada said, the devotees were joking. They said to Prabhupada, we should call it the Hari Bowl. You know, with 50,000 devotees, you know, that's something. Prabhupada told Shamasundar, if you build it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take you back to Godhead. So this was a vision, a revelation, revealed by, and of course, Lord Nityananda, when he gave his tour to Jiva Goswami, also described. So, how is that going? Well, some of you may have heard, it's a long story, but we've purchased a lot of land via various trusts that are actually bona fide operating trusts. But the West Bengal, there's a land ceiling, which has previously had, you know, it's a communist government. Only in Bengal. Prabhupada said if you put two Bengalis together, they'll start a fight. If you put three, they'll start a political party. Of course, Prabhupada's, you know, joking, but, and anyone's a Vaishnava, that's completely transcendental. But the point is that it's a communist government. Previously, they were exploited, no doubt about it. So they have what they call the zamindars, you know, the big landowners, and the people were living basically as peasants or serfs, being exploited like anything. So they have a law that you can't, I think it's over 30 acres, 28 acres, 24 acres, thank you. You can't have over 24 acres. So what to do to build this huge property, this huge project? So the West Bengal government has been moving slowly, and they've speeded up that process, and there's actually some threat that they may try to take some of that land. And we're trying to work it out. It's a lot, but who knows? It's been, so this is a difficulty. So what to do? In the process of discussing all of this, it turns out that the original design drawn by Prabhupada, which he gave to Sarabhi, and the original cornerstone is set right on ISKCON land, which is land we already own. It's under the 24-acre ceiling. If you know Mayapur, you know, what is it, the Lotus building and the Conch building? Let's say they're here. The long building is here. The wall, Bhaktisiddhanta Marg, is up here. Prabhupada Samadhi is way over here. So here you have that Lotus fountain and where they set up the big pandal. Then you have where they used to have the zoo, you know, and then you have Gulab Kali's place. And then you have that open area where they put the, that mini market. They set up all that. So that area right in there, from the long building all the way across past the Samadhi, is under 24 acres, is owned by ISKCON, and that's where Prabhupada put the original cornerstone. So there is, we have to do a thorough investigation, but there is a very strong possibility that we could set right in there a big, beautiful temple, Prabhupada's original design. And you could tie all the other buildings together. You could take the elements from the main temple, you know, arches and columns and, you know, different elements, and you could redo the long building and the lotus and the conch so it would all fit together. It would look like a matching set. You know, it could actually be done very beautifully. And the estimate, of course, the other temple was $60 million and going up, you know, and so many issues were there. This one, the estimate is it'll be just about $30 million. And Ambarish, Alfred Ford, who Prabhupada asked to head up this project, was so excited about it, he's pledged, of the $30 million price, $20 million. So, This is something we could start construction on immediately. It doesn't need government permission. We don't, you know, India, you build it and Hare Krishna. They'll come talk to you if it falls over, you know, but other than that, no problem. So that's something, that's the latest news from Mayapur. They're going to do a study to see what they can do to save, you know, if there's still a way of doing the other project, that will do an investigation. But generally speaking, every devotee who you've talked to about this is very excited by this idea. And Ambarish is doing the initial study, so next year in Mayapur we'll make a decision, pull the plug and go ahead. The other $10 million, frankly, that can be raised just in Bombay alone. So it means, because we want to see this in our lifetime. We want to be able to offer this to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. So that's something exciting out of Mayapur. The youth settlement, you may know, how could you not? This is the Turley case, which by the hard work of Amarendra Prabhu, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, Gupta Prabhu, if you may remember, and frankly funded in its initial stages and all the way along through New Dwarka, through the hard work of the New Dwarka devotees, this case has been fought and won. So on behalf of all the ISKCON devotees, thank you for your surrender and under the expert leadership of Swavas Prabhu. Otherwise, we would have been finished, no question about it. But if you may remember, just like what do they do to, you know, rewind the tape a little bit, we were in the position where the linchpin of this case is that Srila Prabhupada knew about the abuse of children, kept it going so that the mothers and the fathers would just park their children somewhere and go out on Sankirtan, distribute books, and the money could come to the BBT and Prabhupada could enjoy all this money. Therefore, he kept it going on. That's in the case, which is the most heinous, vile, false, it's just so untrue and such an apparat. Anyone who knows Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada dealt with the church, you know, so many things. But anyway, that was in the linchpin of the thing. He was also asking initially how much? $200 million. Was it four? Excuse me. People think I exaggerate, so I was being cautious, you know. So $400 million. There. I think it was fought back to $200 million. I mean, $200 million. Anybody got their checkbook here and you want to help us out, you know? And it was going to go before a Dallas court. We were talking about this bull, that bull. Don't they have the cow palace? They're cowboys in Dallas, and they're not gopas. Not that kind of cowboy, you know? Just imagine, they're fundamentalist Baptists, and we have to go before a jury and explain. It was just disaster. So the mission given to our attorneys was to come up with a strategy that protected Prabhupada's name at all costs. Whatever happened, we could not allow that to be the official record. Such a falsehood and blasphemy. We had to fight that at all costs. We wanted to make sure, if at all possible, to not be like the Catholics who've been bleeding in the newspapers. You know, every day you read something about them, isn't it? You read some new thing has happened and their reputation is ruined, practically speaking. So we didn't want that to happen to the reputation of Prabhupada's movement and the devotees to be under that cloud for years and years and years. How in the world were we ever going to come up with the money to fight this kind of thing? How to bring the price for resolving this to something we could actually handle? And then the other thing, what was the other thing? The other thing was that how to solve it once and for all so there's not case after case after case after case. And the other thing is that, frankly, these are our kids. What is it? Brahmins, women, cows, elderly people. They're under our care. This happened on our watch. So how we have a duty to resolve this. Actually, Radhanath Marsh stood up. This was 2 years ago when this thing came to a head. People were wondering what to do. Well, it's America's problem. And this, because, you know, we're being sued in America. Although 50% of the abuse happened in India, frankly. That's another story. But what to do? Radhanath Marsh stood up and said, this is a cloud hanging over our society. And Krishna's not going to let us off the spot. We've tried to get out of it this way, that way. Until we stand up collectively as a society and do the right thing, Krishna's not going to let us off the hook. So the result is, it went into this, the strategy to resolve was this Chapter 11 reorganization. I don't want to bore you with all that. You may have heard it. But the fact of the matter is that was recently signed. And I wanted to read something just because it's been so much hard work. And maybe because you're here in New Dwork, and New Dwork is really on the cutting edge of something if it happens. So I just wanted to read something from the judge. It's short. You know, usually when we go before the judge, it's you've been thrown out of Kmart or it's about the airport or something. So these are the final remarks of the Honorable L. Edward Friend. That's his name, who turned out to be a true friend. This is just about a year ago when the case was signed, and it was settled, same thing in L.A. So here he is. It's only two paragraphs. I truly believe that the parties who were affected by this, the creditors, that means the youth, Gurukul alumni, are going to be substantially better off than they would have been without this plan of reorganization, and I'm in favor of it. I think all of you have done an excellent job of putting together what I would call a settlement of a hotly disputed, many, many cases extending over geographical distances all over the world. And to put this into a general procedural aspect where each person will be able to receive some result is just great. It's a great idea. I wish you all could figure out some way to do the asbestos cases and come up with a solution for those, because we haven't been able to figure it out. He's joking, you know. So I am really, really impressed. It is a great job. It is a great thing that in bankruptcy court we can do something like this. Again, he's joking, this next sentence. The only bad thing against it, I guess, is there will be some plaintiff's attorneys who won't be getting their big fat fees that they would be if it had all gone to court. So you might not be real popular with the plaintiff's bar for this type of settlement. But I think it's much better for the creditors or the people deserving the money rather than these numerous lawsuits we would have had to go through. So I'm going to wholeheartedly endorse this plan. I find it to be the best interest of the creditors, and I think the parties who have actually worked together to come to this conclusion that really and truly makes sense in this day and age when sometimes such a good result is few and far between. So it's confirmed. Congratulations. So if you see Amarenda, if you see Gupta, if you see Sandy Fry, if you see Gopal Bhatta, and what to speak of Swavasprabhu, pat them on the back because they saved our society and they saved Srila Prabhupada's name. It's an amazing thing. It's a fact. Then we have to pay for it. So it's 9.5. And another mystical thing is there's no interest on the thing. How did that happen? So I don't want to burden you with all this payment, but it's about, what is it this year we have to come up with? In 2006, it's $1.4 million by the end of April. It's another $855,000 by September. So that's a total of $2.3 million in 2006. Anybody got their checkbook? Then it's $1.7 million every year thereafter in semi-annual payments, twice a year, $850,000 roughly, through 2009. Then it's payments of $1 million a year, $500,000, to 2011. So we're going to be paying for this through 2011. That doesn't include lawyers' fees. That'll be something they say around $30,000 a year, something like that. We've collected already over $2 million. We've paid a large amount of the legal fees. India is paying $1 million, and they've already paid, I think, $500,000 of that. But we're short. We figured out America has different plans. I'm going to mention that in just a minute, how to come up with the money we need to raise. But we're short. So we went to Mayapur saying what to do. Here's how hard we're working. Here's how much money we're collecting. But we're short. And what do we do? Do we sell properties? If so, we need your permission. What do we do? And you have to realize, being part of ISKCON, actually it's a great brotherhood or sisterhood. It's a great federation of fellow Vaishnavas. Because these are devotees, they're building their own projects. They have their own financial issues. They have so many things going on. They don't have to help us. They're not legally bound. And all around the world, devotees and temples have stood up, will help. Just like our Denver temple, they're not involved in this. They're looking to buy a new temple themselves. They mortgaged two houses, gave $70,000 just to help. Bhakti Chaturmarg this year, we were how to come up with a shortfall, what to do, stood up made a vow, said, I will give, I will raise, by Krishna's grace, $1 million. He says, I think he'll start in 2009, because 2009, the temple in Ujjain will be paid off for. And then maybe 2007, thank you. So he'll kick in, he'll have that paid off, and then the funds will go towards that. So why? Just to help the devotees around the world and protect Rukmini Dwarkadish. San Diego's also got sucked into this thing to protect San Diego. Dallas, New Vrindavan, key temples around America. So, there's that. We're going to do a fundraiser in New Vrindavan. It's, $1,500 a ticket? And it's only 100 plus tickets. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj is flying in with his bhajan band. Lokanath Maharaj is going to be there. Radhanath Maharaj is going to be there. Bhakti Chaura Maharaj is going to be there. So many nice senior sannyasis, Bhaktivedanta players. Ram Bhadra is already arranging the prasadam, you know. It's going to be a fantastic program. Swan boat. So we want to give them a wonderful experience. And it's a fundraiser. We'll do some auction there. We'll do some other stuff. But so that's one thing. I guess I should mention this before I forget. Krishna accomplishes many things, just like he's known as Rancho running from the battlefield, but many things were accomplished by him, you know, so many things with one stroke. So one of the results of this youth fund is it's forcing us to raise, work together and raise incredible amounts of money. Once this is paid off, which it will be paid off by Krishna's grace, once it's paid off, we'll still have those different means for raising money. We're coming out with a prasadam bar. Don't worry, it'll be coming carob flavored. Prabhu, you'll be all right. But they have two different flavors. One is marzipan, and different people were, you know, how to get on the committee for the taste testing, make sure the bar was up to standard. I didn't get on that committee, unfortunately. But anyway, just like they have Girl Scout cookies, we'll have bars that we sell. We'll do fundraisers. I think the first, in addition to these special fundraisers, there'll be general in different areas. Small versions of the one in New Vrindavan. I think the first one's in Southern California in September, October, something like that. So that's coming. It'll be San Diego, Laguna Beach, L.A. Then they'll do one in Dallas. They'll do one in New Vrindavan. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, they raised at their last fundraising. You know, they have the patrons, I think they're called. What is it called? What's that committee? Is it called the Patrons Committee? Patrons Committee. So, you know all those little kids that are running around goofy? And they're, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, 12 years old, getting in the way. Yeah, run along kid. Well, in London, they thought, wait a minute, let's make a nice program for these kids. And they had nice Bal Bihar, nice programs, you know, for the, you know, youth programs, nursery school or whatever you want to. And they trained them all in Krishna consciousness. And lo and behold, when they grew up, they inherited their father's business, or they went on and became doctors and lawyers and whatever it is, and they've got tons of money. And they're devotees, and this is their temple. So guess what? That the last fundraising dinner in Bhaktivedanta Manor, they raised, at that one dinner alone, 500,000 pounds. What is a pound? 2.2, something like that? So that's over $1 million. So they have their programs. They're building a brand new temple. They've got so many different ideas they're doing in Bhaktivedanta Manor. But I don't think it's this year, but I think it's next year. Next year, they're going to... Gauri, I don't know if you know Gauri Das, used to be the principal at Gurukula. Very, very nice devotee. He's the one who met Prince Charles. That's another whole story. Anyway, remind me later on. It's a nice story. So they've opened up Bhaktivedanta Manor. Come... put on a fantastic dinner. We'll invite everybody. Whatever you collect can go for the youth settlement fund. So it's an amazing thing. My point is that all around the world, every sannyasi, every ISKCON, that from Vrindavan, Food for Life, anybody who comes, Indra Dumna Maharaj, who's raising for that, you know, to put on that summer festival that goes along Poland, $250,000 he's got to raise? Something like that, you know? It's not easy. But 50% of whatever he collects in America, 50% of whatever any sannyasi, traveling program, visitor in America collects, goes to the youth fund. So from all over the world, devotees are stepping forwards. It actually was one of those moments, you know, like I say, you see a grown man cry, but to actually see the devotees step forward and sacrifice for the service of Srila Prabhupada without any obligation made me proud to be a member of ISKCON, frankly. So there's that. We're also going to come out with limited editions, just like some of our best painters. Prickett, I think, is the one who's there. Gopal Bhatt is talking to paint a beautiful painting. You know, they have to think of what it'll be, but a beautiful first class painting, and sell the original, but also make it a limited number of copies of prints, and to sell those prints. There's all kinds of different ideas. There's to make this, what are they called, Eladro, they're called, those people that make those porcelain, finely painted statues. They sell them in jewelry stores, Tiffany's, things like that. They sell for $1,000, $2,000. Believe it or not, they came out with a Radha and Krishna about this big. They sold for, what, $2,000, $3,000? Yeah, it's Eladro. It's called Eladro. Sold them. So we're also going to come out with a beautiful Radha and Krishna. We'll sell it top end. So there's so many different ideas. You know, if Krishna puts your feet to the fire, you tend to, you know, focus on it. So that's something that will come out of this. So that's the latest on the youth settlement. You may know, just, I'm going to talk about Germany, France, and Moscow. Wait, what time do we go to? What's the standard? When does class end here? Okay, fine. That's good. So you may or may not know that Germany was devastated when Harikesh faded away. And they were a powerhouse of Europe. And booked a huge book distribution, and the whole thing just imploded. And they had loans they'd taken out on big properties. It was just a real disaster. And the German devotees, when Prabhupada was in Germany, said, "You make a good army." And it's a fact. Somehow or other, they have just fought and fought and fought. They all came together. They have a national council. They've paid off a number of the key loans. They've gotten some help from the BBT. They've gotten some help from devotees around the world, also gave some money. So just last year, they had 4 Rath Yatras. They're planning on 6 this year. They had 4 huge Gita Jayantis. They have a national council. They're doing strategic planning. And they haven't lost a single property. They're going to sell that place in Cologne. Not in Cologne, it's another place. But they wanted to sell that anyway. So to the credit of the devotees, in case you're wondering what happened in Germany. And they still have 60 book distributors. Just see. Thank you, Prabhu. Can't keep a good man down. And Moscow, I mean, you know the story in Moscow. The devotees, they were offered this piece of property that's absolutely, I think it's 5 minutes from St. Basil's. As a sidelight, you know, Shama, there's those famous pictures of Prabhupada walking in you know, Red Square and by St. Basil's and the Kremlin and all. You see those black and whites that probably, I think, were probably there in 1972, 73, something like that. So the Shama Sundar was saying, this isn't being recorded, so I guess I can say it. Shama Sundar said that when Prabhupada walked past St. Basil's, St. Basil's, you know, is right there in Red Square. It's got the onion domes. Everyone who knows Moscow has seen, you've all seen it, no question about it. Prabhupada walked by, stopped, swung his cane and pointed, and said, "Someday this will be a Radha Krishna temple." Okay, well, that's interesting. But let me add a little historical reference. Shama Sundar, Radhanath Maharaj told me this story. So Shama Sundar Prabhu was visiting the Chaupati temple for the first time. He arrived at night, woke up after Mangalarti, wanted to go for a walk for chanting his japa, came outside the gates, turned to the left. And if you know, if you walk down the street, the end to the left, I think it's called the Bharti Vidya Bhavan, I think it's called. It's a big, it's a big auditorium. It's a big hall people rent for all kinds of programs. Prabhupada spoke there in 72, 73. We had no temple in Chaupati. We didn't even have the temple in Bombay, I don't think, in Juhu. Maybe we had the land. Prabhupada spoke, came out, Shama Sundar said, what happened is that when he got to the gates, Shama Sundar walked down in the street. All of a sudden, he started to cry. Shama Sundar started to cry. Radhanath Maharaj asked him why. Shama Sundar told him. Back in 1972, at that Bharta Vidya Bhavan, Prabhupada gave a program in the evening. Walked out at the top of the stairs, swung his cane, pointed down the exact same road, pointed to where our Chaupati temple is, and said, "We will have a big temple there." So as he did in Chaupati with his cane, he also pointed to St. Basil. So we'll see. But in the meantime, So the devotees had this great piece of property that was given by the mayor of Moscow. They were giving, because, frankly, they were getting pressure from the American government that if you want grants for so many different things, if you want, you know, IMF and World Bank and, you know, all these different Catholic and Christian relief funds, if you want all this money, then you're going to have to allow freedom of religion. So they gave land to the Buddhists, land to the Christians. They gave all this land to everybody. And somehow or other, they gave us this fantastic site. Right, like I say, it's right on the main road from the airport to the Kremlin. All the diplomats go by that road. But anyway, the Russian Orthodox Church has freaked. And they've put an unbelievable amount of pressure on the devotees. There's a picture that Bhakti Vijnana Maharaj showed. Bhakti Vijnana Maharaj is the GBC, the main person overseeing this. He's just, that's another story. Remind me someday, when the KGB tried to break him, before he became a devotee, he was a PhD candidate. They threw him out of the university. They called him, and just like the movies, they pulled up in the truck, you know, in the car, grabbed him. He's just walking along the street as a bhakta, hadn't he moved into the temple, took him to the KGB with that horrible prison, you know, sweated him out. He wouldn't give a word. They threw him out of the university, didn't say a thing. Father got fired from his job. His father was a top research scientist, fired from his job. That didn't work, wouldn't say a thing. His mother was in charge of some art, like, you know, restoration at the Hermitage, I don't know what it was, something like that. She got fired, so many different things. He wouldn't crack. Finally, and if you know Bhakti Vijnana, he's soft, he's a very powerful person, but he's soft-spoken, thin, you know, Prabhupada says brahmachari, sannyasi, they should be a little thin, so very, you know, would apparently materially frail. So he's sitting there, and what happened is the two big KGB handlers, these big, you know, bears, it was almost like the Muslim guards of Haridas Thakur when he wouldn't die. They broke down. They started to cry. They said, you know, if you don't give us some information, they're going to send us to Siberia, help, you know. So he, instead of him breaking, they broke. And so finally they worked out a deal. I'll give you some bogus information. I'll say this is it. They said, fine, fine, just give us something to put in our notebooks. And they worked out an arrangement. And this way he was able to come to the temple and he didn't have to, you know, reveal any ISKCON secrets like that. So he's just an amazing person. He's been fighting these people for who knows how long, decades. There's a picture of I think his name is Madan Mohan, very nice brahmachari, saintly brahmachari, and a couple other very nice devotees, and they're having a radio debate. And on the other side are these guys from the Russian Orthodox Church. Just to give you a caliber of these guys, they're not celibate. They drink vodka profusely. And one of their tapasyas of this certain order of Russian Orthodox monk is don't bathe. They do not bathe. That's one of their vratas. Do not bathe. So just imagine. And they look, you just see, just like there's a cloud over these guys. And you've got the devotees on the, you know, effulgent, saintly Vaishnavas. And so they had a radio debate. And it was sponsored, the person who sponsored the debate, the radio station, was against the devotees. But the phone-in was so favorable to the devotees. People asking karma, reincarnation, telling the Russian Orthodox guys, you know, you're just envious because we finally got some religious people and you see some competition, you know. It was so bad they canceled the show. Right in the middle of the thing, they just stopped it because they were losing, you know. So, but in the meantime, they've shut off the pressure. They shut off the water periodically. They shut off the heat periodically. And it's a tin shed they're living on the property. And there's one picture, there must be 4 or 5, even 6 feet of snow billowed up against it. Devotees are showering outside and porta toilets. Just, you can't even imagine the condition they're living in, you know? So they're so austere and so determined. In spite of all of that, in spite of the heavy pressure and the condition they're in, 200 devotees went on the Christmas marathon, Sankirtan marathon, over 80,000 books distributed. They had 800 to 1,000 people come to the Sunday feast every Sunday. 800 to 1,000. And there's hardly Indian community. You know, there's not much money to be made in Moscow, so there's no mangoes, so they're not stupid. They're somewhere else. It's freezing cold, you know. So there's not much. So that's all, you know, local Russian, Ivan and Svetlana. You know, that's who's coming to this thing, you know. 800 to 1,000. They had 7,000 to 8,000 people attended the Janmashtami. They had over 15 different plays, you know, on Janmashtami Day, different plays. They have Ratha Yatra. I think it's called Prospectus. I forget that, but it's the main shopping district right in next to Red Square. They had a Ratha Yatra right down the square. So this is just a little impetus that in spite of all the difficulty, how wonderfully the devotees are preaching. In France, we're moved on now. In France, similarly, when Bhagavan faded away, the place was just crushed. Also, the French government is very heavy. I think someone was telling me, what is their... I know someone was telling me, I'm trying to remember who, but the French motto, you know, like America's e pluribus unum out of one many, out of many one, whatever it is, you know, I forget how it works. Yeah, whatever it is. I'm thinking of other couple of mottos that are suiting for America, but I'll mention those later on. So the French motto is, what is it? No master, no God. There's no church, no God, and everyone's equal. No master, no God. For the French Olympics, everywhere else, the different, you know, whether it's in the Australia when they had the Olympics there, where they had them in America, wherever they have it, they always make an arrangement for vegetarian diet for athletes. Because anyone with a brain knows that any kind of long distance, you know, if you're a long distance runner, anything that requires a sustained long distance strength, vegetarian diet is 1,000. I mean, if you're going to be a weightlifter, you're going to be a gorilla. Even gorillas are vegetarian. So I don't know what it is. But anyway, if you're going to be some beast, then all right, you know, and lift weights, okay, fine, feed them meat. But everyone, you know, it's better. But the head of the French, the mayor, said, we're just serving normal food for normal people. So it just gives you an idea of the climate. And the fact that devotees, they had a horrible tax bill, crushed the devotees, so many things. So this is their condition. The place has been devastated. So they have a European GBC. That's the devotees, the temple presidents, GBC deputies, and the Euro GBCs. They meet, I don't know, whatever it is, a couple times a year. Just like we have our North American GBC that meets like that. Australian, have a, you know, New Zealand, Australian GBC. So what to do about France? And usually it's just such an intractable problem that they thought, well, you know, just try to put some Band-Aid on it, what to do, you know, Hare Krishna. But this year they thought, no, we should just really think deeply, continually, prayerfully, what can we do for France? So these are some of the ideas, not ideas, things they've come up with. They thought, well, we have to have a temple. I don't know, you know, Prabhupada named the deities Radha, Paris, Ishwara. Anyone has seen, they're beautiful deities. When Prabhupada saw them, Prabhupada said, ah, French women are famous all over the world as the most beautiful. Prabhupada said, Krishna's come to get some French gopis. Oh, Radha, Paris, Ishwara. So shouldn't Paris, Ishwara be living in Paris? Would seem like it, shouldn't it? But they're out in some rented house. The landlord's always threatening to throw them out. They're out in some village somewhere. So somehow or other, they have managed to scrape together from pledges, from devotees. They have over $500,000 in a bank account for purchasing a temple in France, in Paris. If you have that as a down payment, then you can handle the payments, you know. So they're searching for a temple downtown Paris. They also have there's a devotee who's coming up with the money for, and we have Pragosh Prabhu. I don't know if you know, Pragosh was our chairman 2 years ago. He's from Ireland. He has two fantastic restaurants. I think they're both in Dublin. One of our girls, one of the Gurukul alumni in San Diego, is doing her master's, and she did it in English literature. She was at Oxford. She went to Ireland for 2 weeks. She came back. She was in Dublin looking for a vegetarian restaurant. Heard there was a Govinda's. She sent me this email. She said, oh, Prabhu, it's to die for. She said, the curd special should be giving me the menu, you know. So I mentioned to Prabhu. She said, yeah. He said something like, yep, 50 gallons of curd a day, you know. So it's a fantastic restaurant. So Prabhu is expert at organizing restaurants. So I apologize, but I've forgotten the devotee's name. But right on that, was it Champs d'Élysées, the main street? Yeah, whatever it is. Thank you very much. They, you know, I'm from America. We don't... Beyond New York and Chicago, we don't know much. So, beautiful restaurant, bookstore, you know, reading room, right in the heart of Texas. Right in the heart of Paris. and also a new temple. Indradyumna Maharaj and Sri Prahlad have agreed to put on a Rath Yatra on the French Riviera. I went to this, I don't know how many years ago, mid-80s, with Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And it was just fantastic. Everyone's happy. They're, you know, happy as you can get in the material world. But they're on the vacation on the French Riviera. It's a blissful Rath Yatra. I remember there was one section People actually, there's these tall, you know, apartment buildings. People were throwing francs, you know, whatever the, you know, like $5 note, throwing them out the windows like confetti, throwing them at the devotees. They were so happy. There were a couple cars that were blocking the road. The cart couldn't get through. All these people, you know, in bathing suits because they've all been on the beach, whatever. They, you know, like 25 people just picked up this car, put it on the guy's lawn, cart went by, picked up the car, put it back. It was fantastic. So that hasn't happened in years and years and years. So Indradumna Maharaj and Sri Prahlad, along with the French devotees and the Euro GBC, have vowed that this year, again, and every year this after, one big Rath Yatra on the French Riviera. Also, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu has pledged, he's already given $60,000 as a fund for French books. And other devotees are adding to that fund, which means, because there's like a diaspora, you know, when French yatra fell apart, you know, French devotees went all over the world. So the thought now is, if you speak French, are any French speakers here? I don't want to lose anybody from the book distribution. All right, just checking. So if you speak French and you happen to be free, you can go to France, live in the new temple, and distribute books at cost. All they ask, take prasadam, have darshan of Radha Parasyeshwara, and distribute books. And they'll do it at cost, or maybe something on top of it. The point is they'll keep replenishing the fund so that the books, so they'll always, and they'll build it up. So there'll be book distribution, there'll be festivals, restaurant, ISKCON France, Kijai. So also Shivaram Maharaj has vowed to spend 5 months out of a year there. Indradumna Maharaj is going to spend 2 months out of a year. Paramgati Maharaj is going to spend 10 months out of the year. So I think we can end there. But it just goes to show, Prabhupada gave the example, if you have a string, a stick, and a gourd, lying independently, they're worthless. But you combine them together, you can make a nice instrument. So it's a fact, when the devotees work together selflessly, with full faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and do what we're supposed to do, Jayadwaita Maharaj was telling me that he was on his way from JFK in New York to India. He wanted to change some dollars into rupees at the little change house there in the airport. There's some lady. And you know, they're New Yorkers. They have their own way of saying things. So he's there, of course, dressed as a sannyasi. So she said to him, she said, "That's what I like about you people. You are what you pretend to be." She meant to say, you know, you are what you're supposed to be, but we shouldn't be, you know, what we pretend to be. We should be what we're supposed to be. And when we are what we're supposed to be, working together humbly. I had a nice experience in Radhakund some years ago. I think I mentioned it in Mayapur, but anyway, I was chanting japa, praying for some mercy, which I am sorely in need of. And I saw these two old men, old Vaishnavas. They were coming down the steps of, they were coming across the top, and they were to come down the steps to Radhakund to get some water. They're absorbed in their own meditative thoughts. They didn't see each other. And they met at the top of the stairs. Now, these were old men. They must have been, you know, 95 years old, old, crickety like this, you know, and they each had a little lungi on. They had a little loda like that. And they met at the top of the steps. Now, I'm at some distance. Neither do I speak Hindi or whatever the local language is, but I could understand what they were saying. And one was saying, "Let me get water for you." The other saying, "No, no, let me get water for you. No, no, let me." So they were pulling on each other's pots like this because each wanted to serve the other. They were so enthusiastic, but they were also old. They both fell over. So after they kind of picked themselves up and they made some agreement. All right, you go this year. This, you go today. I'll go tomorrow. So one of them went down and got water for both. You know, this is Vaishnav heart, you know. So when we are what we're supposed to be and we dedicate ourselves to book distribution, to the holy name, to festivals, to prasadam, Krishna can do unlimited things, amazing things. So we can end there. We'll pick up tomorrow. Thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna.